The scripture today is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed it. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabbino," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
While it was still dark, it was a dark morning that day, following a dark day before it, following the darkest moment imaginable. Perhaps she wondered if it would always be dark. Would the sun ever shine again? Darkness had cast itself upon the earth, and that was all she could see. Night. Would morning ever come? Like a dream from which one cannot awaken, trapped in darkness, unable to find the light, just a flicker perhaps to pave the way. But by candlelight, the shadows rise, looming, foreboding, dark on dark. This is grief, where night is night and day is night, and dark is all around. Gripped by that darkness, incapable of losing it, slipping that shadow that held so tight upon her, she walked there that morning. Mary arrived at the tomb and was instantly overtaken by fear. The stone had been rolled away. Her heart began to beat fast in her chest. Her breath quickened. Her mind raced. She ran to tell the others. He was gone. But where? By who? Why? Why would they take him away? Hadn't they hurt him enough to be hung, to shame and scare the others? A lesson in shutting up and keeping quiet. his body. So limp and lifeless, the blood at his side, not even a proper burial. No dignity, no decency. And now the tomb ransacked? What had they done? Who had done this? Were they there now watching her? Had they no mercy? No shame? Cloaked in darkness, these thieves must have stole whatever little was left of him. And she gasped, wide-eyed, frantically searching in the dark. Yes, fear had taken over. That's what it does, fear. It grips us. Like the darkness of grief, fear has a way of taking over, overriding everything else. It grips us and it blinds us. It numbs us. It stops us in our tracks. Keeps us from thinking clearly, focusing, seeing. Fight or flight. Mary fled. She fled to the disciples. They have taken him. They have taken him. John and Peter came running and arrived at the tomb, but there was nothing but linen, no body, nobody. And seeing nothing and no one, they left. But she didn't. She couldn't. They could leave without answers. They could return to their hiding places, get back to their beds, let dark be dark. But she couldn't just go back and sit in that darkness. Her heart was still beating hard in her chest. She was angry. And yes, she was scared. She was lost and she was confused. Things weren't adding up. None of this was as it should be. She shook her head and remembered where they were just 1 week ago. Happy, joyful. They had paraded into Jerusalem with confidence, unafraid and undeterred. But now, all there was fear. The disciples hidden away, Jesus dead, his body gone, darkness, all she could see. It's not so hard to imagine, is it? Who hasn't grieved? Who hasn't felt that heavy weight, the cloak of night? Who has not seen through veiled eyes? Can we not relate? If it wasn't our Jesus, maybe it was our dad, or son, or husband, or daughter. The darkness comes. And when it does, it takes its grip, and it will not let go with ease. She went back to the tomb. Perhaps she would just climb back in and take his place. Life wasn't worth living anymore. There was no light, no mercy, no forgiveness, no sense of peace left to be had, no hope. Better to enter the tomb herself than live in the darkness of his wake. They didn't have a plan to carry on, not for her, not for them. They'd lost their will to live, or at least live the way he had taught them. So they chose hiding instead. They let fear dictate their next moves. They had denied him and forsaken him. No plan except to hide. So Mary went back into that tomb. You know, each of the Gospels tells us a different story. Maybe that's because everybody experiences it differently. This Easter story, it's the same story, but it's never the same. We can hear it a million times over, and somehow it doesn't get old. It tells of an ancient truth, but we get to hear it new and different. That's the thing about truth. It's not fact. It's not even an alternative fact. Truth. It's bigger than fact. We know truth because it hits us deep inside. We feel it resonating there. echoing inside of us. It might start in our brains, but truth doesn't reside there. It burrows in. It's not something that can be mangled and twisted, try as they might, try as we might. But truth is deeper. It's untouchable. The details aren't always what makes true true. There's something more. Something more. So Mark ends with a question mark. We are left unsettled and disturbed. It's up to us to finish the story. And Matthew and Luke, they are very similar, but Matthew has an earthquake that rolls the stone away, and Jesus appears to them. But in Luke, it's only these gleaming men who tell them that Jesus has risen. And John, here, John has his own way of telling the story. He's the poet. And even here, we see him playing with metaphor, light and darkness. He makes us think, and he lets us imagine. What do they all have in common? The empty tomb, Mary Magdalene, and fear. Fear, the empty tomb, and Mary. Alone now, she enters in. Resigned, perhaps, to call it home, just crawl in, disappear. But instead, she finds two angels who question her tears. I don't know if she knew they were angels. She doesn't jump back in astonishment at their presence. Rather, they're an interference, impeding on her grief. Their strange questions probe her. She weeps because she grieves. They have taken him away. Just then, someone stirs outside the tomb. She turns around, and in the shadows, finds the gardener. Perhaps he took Jesus' body or knows who did. Tell me, please, tell me, where have you taken him? And then something happens. Something happens that changes everything. This man in the shadows, this gardener, this stranger, he says her name. He says her name. Mary. And at the sound of it, the dawn broke. Her ears playing tricks on her. Her eyes, she rubbed them, for she had not seen in 2 days. She had only heard through clogged ears. But at the sound of her name, the light broke forth. Mary. He'd always said this phrase after he told the parable. It was cryptic, and she never truly understood it. Until now. You with ears to hear, listen. You with eyes to see, see. But it was the same man, wasn't it? The gardener. But she heard and she saw, and nothing was the same. The fear just dissipated. Everything was different. She rushed to grab him, but he stopped her. Do not hold on to me. And yet she wanted nothing more than to hold him close. Her grief had been so heavy, her night so dark. And then she heard her name, and she saw the light. And she experienced his presence, so she wanted nothing more than to hold on to him, to freeze this moment, to live forever in this light. But he knew it was fleeting. And perhaps so did she. She couldn't hold him like she wanted. She couldn't stop time and keep him for her very own. They couldn't go back to the way things were, but he had called her out of the tomb. Life would forever be different. She would forever be changed. She couldn't hold on to him. No, she couldn't stop time. But in that one instance, the darkness had lifted. The light had broken. Her eyes had seen and her ears had finally heard. And everything was different. than it had been only moments before. I love this story in John. I think it might be my favorite of all the resurrection stories. Maybe it's because I like having control. I want life to make sense. I want to have control over my life and my faith. I like reason and logic. I want to get a grip on it all. And there are times when I, too, am broken with grief. And I fear that the darkness will take over. These are scary times in which we are living, and I just want to have control. I'd like everything to make sense. So let me hold on to this moment, this resurrected Jesus. Let me show my friends and share it with the world. Then everything will be okay. Then they'll believe me. Then I'll have him for my very own, and never a worry will cross my mind again. Yes, Jesus in my hand. Life is easy. But that's not how the story ends. Mary doesn't get to return back to the life they had before. The disciples, they're back home. They missed it. Maybe they'll get their own experience later, but this was going to have to be enough for Mary. She didn't get to hold him. She didn't get to tie him down. She wasn't fully in control. But she was called. And her ears heard, and her eyes saw, and the fear was gone. Everything was different. It was a miracle. No earthquakes, no witnesses, just a woman transformed by the light of a new day. And this we call Easter. You, with ears to hear, listen. You with eyes to see, look. The darkness is lifting. A new light is shining. Amen.